But nonetheless, the topic of getting high on Torah and mitzvot is exactly what I want to try to explain to you today, what it means to me and how a person could love Torah and mitzvot. And not everybody does, and that's okay, but you have to develop it. So the first story that I tell, and I don't normally ever do this, but these sources are also in Hebrew and English. So if you don't believe me, you could look at the English side as well. It's a story from the Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos, Daf, Samach, Aleph, Amud Beis. The Gemara tells this fascinating story. Tana Rabbanan. Pam Achas, Gezeru Malchus, HaRosh Shelo Yosek Yisrael Batorah. Right? Not the first, not the last time, unfortunately. They weren't allowed to learn Torah. And if you were caught learning Torah, you would die. But Papas Ben Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, Shayomeka Kilos Barabim, Yoske Batorah. Rabbi Akiva, who would later be killed by Kiddush Hashem, exactly for teaching Torah in public. And we remind ourselves of this, unfortunately, twice a year. Once in Tisha B'Av, one of the kinos. And Asar Humega Malchus on Yom Kippur again. And Rabbi Akiva is berated, if you will. He says, what are you doing? How can you teach Torah? You're going to get killed. And he says, I want to give you a mashal. Let me tell you a little bit of a story. Amar lo, em shalachal mashal l'mahadavar domeh, l'shuel, shahaya mahalech agav hanar. There was a fox, and he was walking by the, what is this river called here? The lake? Chattanooga? I don't know. What is it called? Does anybody know? Lake Como? I don't know. What is it called here? The lake right in back of you. He's walking by the lake. You don't know what I'm talking about. There's a lake in back of you. Okay, fine. So, he's walking by the lake. They're going back and forth. You know, crazy fish, going crazy. Who are you running away from? We're running away from the crazy nets. They're trying to kill us, right? These fishermen put out these big nets, right? I don't know if you've ever watched this. I've never watched it. But there's a reality show called The Deadliest Catch. Super awesome, right? They put out these big, right? And they catch all these tarfus, lobsters and things I never heard of before. Right? Woo-hoo, we got it. Yeah, yeah. And then people die and they fall off the thing. It's cool. Anyway, it's reality TV. Fine. So one guy died twice. Okay. So and he says what? He says, we're trying to run away from them. The fox feels bad and he says, hey, come on. Come with me to the Yabasha. And I'll protect you. Just like your father and my father did. Everybody knows the story about the fox and the fish, how they loved each other and they joined each other and it was on Jerry Springer. Right? You don't even know that story? So the fish says, I know this is a very weird story because animals are talking to each other. Okay, fine. Shrek, fine. Okay. Atu she'omru alecha pikeach she'bechayos. We were taught as fish, right? Our father Nemo taught us that. You're the smartest of all animals. And what does he say? Pikeach ata? No. Elatipesh ata. You are? Stupid. The S word. You're stupid. He says, what, are you crazy? Don't you know we can't live out of the water for a few moments? We will die. We'd rather try to run away from the nets and at least live. Ah, says Rabbi Akiva, Achshana Yoshev Yoskim Batoira, Shekosev, Kiheu Chayecha V'Yorechamecha, Kiheim Chayinu V'Yorechamecha, we're about to say in Bayriv. It's our life. I can't live without Torah. Mayim is the Torah. What a great story. And it's a great story, and it's cool, and it's wonderful, and it. But if you were in high school and you would read the story, you'd be like, Rabbi, do me a favor. Come on. Really? I'll go with the fox. I'm all right. I could do with a lot of little water. I'll be okay. I'll take a bottle of water with me. What's so bad? And by the way, points out Rabbi Shavai, let's quote in this Gemara. He says, it's so interesting that the fish calls him stupid. He should have called him a liar. Yeah. Right? Why does he call him a liar? Good question you were going to ask. I'm sorry to call on you. He says, there's a lot of different commentaries on this Gemara, but nobody says, why didn't he call him a liar? He says, that never happened. Nemo never joined Foxy Fox, and that never happened.
Swiper.
Right, Swiper. Very good. Very good reference. Never joined Swiper. It didn't happen. She says, that's exactly what says Rav Asher Weiss. That's the Goyim. The Goyim tells stories like, no! What do you mean? You're going to come to the club with us. It's fine. They're going to have kosher food. There'll be kosher popcorn there. Don't worry. Everything will be wonderful. Eis Galten. Join us. So again, high school kids like, yeah, I'm not going to go to that party because water, you know, I love water, right? And then you got that Weisenheimer. I probably would have said this in high school, but like, yeah, I'm a big Dr. Pepper fan, hate water, so yeah, I'm good. You know, like, so how do you explain this? How do you get to a point to be a Rebbe Kiva and say, I can't live without this? How do you wake up in the morning and have a stomach virus and say, yeah, I know that I'm sick, but how can I not go to Minyan in the morning? I can't, it's crazy. I know it's my day off and I haven't slept in God knows how many days because of the way that they're working me, which is against all New York State labor laws, right? It is, okay, right? And I should, right? But, see me after, I'm a lawyer. So, and then you wake up and say, I deserve this, I deserve to sleep in. I'll put tefillin on, well, Rabbi, I'm not crazy. I'll put tefillin on at like 12, 1, 3 o'clock, whatever. On cam time, so now it's 4 o'clock. Okay, whatever. How do you get to this Gemara being life? So I think it's like this. So first of all, I think the number one thing is the following. Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Very, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, quotes Rabba, who says, Mimakab parchalo de Rabbanan, amr milso de bedicha. He would always tell a joke. He would start every share with a joke. So the Gemara asks, before and after, says, isn't that a difficult thing? Isn't there supposed to be fear in Torah? It's not a joke, Torah. How did he start off the joke? He says, no, he wanted to get them in the mood. Rabba we're talking about. So I can't tell a joke? I can't make you guys interested in it? Right? And this is what I often try to do. I want to bring it. It's interesting. It's Torah or something. Why not? I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's an important thing. Excuse me for saying. I feel bad because I'm saying this. I didn't really start off with a good joke. So I'll tell you a story. Story about getting high. So, here we go, take notes. This certainly will not be on Wiley Torah. So when my first job at Yeshiva University was awesome. I worked for the Ministry of Defense as a procurement officer, they called it, or buyer. I basically bought weapons for the Israeli army living in America. So cool. Security clearance, everything cool, right? Got all the girls. And so, and I married one. Only one. And so, we had a security interview. We came to YU, and YU interviewed us. And unfortunately for me, unfortunately for me, I went to Hafter, and I never learned Hebrew. I didn't know any Hebrew. I knew Yiparon. That's about the extent of my Hebrew. I don't know. I go to Israel, and they'd be like, I gotta get and they're like, I need Yiparon. Like, yo, dude, you're okay? Fine. So they started asking, it's a security interview with a security officer, like what you see on the movies. There was I'm not exaggerating. There was a light. It's a heat. Sensitive light going back and forth, and you're sweating. And they ask you any question under the sun. They're allowed to ask you anything. If you don't want to answer it, you lose a job. So they're asking me, and it's in Hebrew. And they're like, oh, everything crazy. And then they get, and she, the woman security officer, I'm the most boring guy in the world. She's not writing anything down. There's nothing interesting about me. And then she asks me the question, Lakach pam samim? Did you ever take drugs? So I'm like, Hafter, yes. You don't know. So I said, Ken? She's like, oh. She's so excited, she starts writing it down. She says, when was the last time you took drugs? I said, last Motzei Shabbat. She goes, what? I go, yeah. She said, when was the time before that? I go, the Motzei Shabbat was before that. She goes, and who was present when you lakachta samim? I'm like, my parents, my sister was there. I think my aunt and uncle were around. Like, what the heck is going on? Where do you live? I'm like, Woodmere? I'm like, well, okay, but what's going on? And then she stops for a moment, she goes, Samim, Ken? Drugs. I'm like, oh, no, I thought you meant besamim. That's the only word I knew, right? I thought it was besamim. Anyway, that interview lasted another hour. She had to excuse herself because she laughed, which you're not allowed to do. And another security officer, and he started the thing all the way from the beginning and asked me all the questions. And he asked me the drug question like 6 times, thinking that finally he'd be like, okay. Right, I'm a vault. I'm not saying anything. Anyway. So, but, that being said, how do we get high? How do I make it something that's fun, that you could joke around about? How? Rav Asher Weiss quotes this amazing Rabbeinu Yonah, a perish on the Rabbeinu Yonah's Perish on Pirkei Avos, which is so amazing. He says, how are you, the Mishnah talks about being an Amal, somebody who is toils in Torah, like you sweat over Torah. Sounds good, not me, right? Back to our fish story, right? Great story for Rabbi Akiva, not for me. So it says, you have to be Torah b'Torah, know how to answer the Apikores, because Sha'a Magia Tzmecha b'Torah, Tis Tashaya Bo. I don't know what that word means. I'm purposely missing it for a moment. And he says, that's what the Hashem did when he created the world. Says that exact thing, Shashem, like Kodesh Baruch, called him Yitzhiras Oilam. God was Mesachik B'Teva. It has something to do with playing. He did something with Shashayabo. And in fact, this is a pasuk from Tehillim. Right? We might know the song, Lulei Sarascha. Lulei Sarascha. What does it mean? Right? There's another song. Yehuda has a song, which is Shlomo Karbot's song. I did it. If you listen to the song right before that, he says this pasuk. Lulei Sarascha, had the Torah been a Shashua, Azavad Dvioni, I wouldn't have gone away from you. And in fact, the pasuk before that in Tazayin says, B'chukecha ish tashei alo, ish shachek dvarecha. So what does the word mean? So if you turn the side, look at source number 6, for example. He says, what does it mean, Ishtashea, from the first pasuk, from Tezayin? Ha'oisik v'dor ma, lishmach, you have to be happy when you learn Torah. Kimo, v'shashea yanek, pasuk from Yehoshua, about the mother, the child who is crying, she's not feeding off the mother, and what do I do? I make the baby happy by giving it a shashua, a toy. In modern day Hebrew, that's what a toy is, a shashua. A rattle. Wait a second. Let's go back for a second. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, you know what a real Amo B'Torah is? A real Isaac B'Torah? Somebody who treats the Torah like a toy. Did I just hear that correctly? Lulei Sarascha, had you treated my Torah like a Shashua, like a toy? Oh, and then I wouldn't have left you. But the fact that you didn't treat it like it should have been, oh, then I couldn't be with you anymore. What does this mean? So I think it's exactly that. Torah has to be something that's fun, that's exciting. Yes, you could joke about it. It's true, there's a big difference, and unfortunately this is so sad. In our high schools, they don't teach this, because they teach subjects. And they teach boring math, and boring biology, and boring chemistry, and boring Torah. You're not going into chemistry class, and the chemistry class is like, oh, how are you doing? So two molecules walk into a bar. Okay. Right? It's not a fun class. Math's not a fun class. Right? And any jokes that these people tell, they're not funny. They think they're funny. You laugh like you're laughing at me now because you feel bad. Yes, you do. So I don't understand. How can it be? So the answer is Torah is different. Torah is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be something that person enjoys. The Gemara says, what are you supposed to learn? Learn what you like. Learn what's exciting. And that will explain the following. Source number 7, it's in English, surprisingly. Again from Avasher Weiss, when he opened up his yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, one of his many yeshivas. So he says the following thing. And this is it, guys. This to me is the foundation. People generally make a sharp contrast between work and play. They work for 5 days a week, and they relax and enjoy themselves 2 days over the weekend. Oh, Saturday and Sunday. Some people like to call it Shabbos. Saturday and Sunday, that's it. I work so hard to have this weekend. A friend of mine years ago told me the story of how his Shabbos looks. He's a Shabbos morning. Awesome. Wake up in the morning, crack open Dunkin' Donuts, take out the coffee, have to get my New York Times, read the New York Times. My kids around the table, we got the Dunkin' Donuts going. And then, like 10:30, we walk to shul. He doesn't daven in Chabad. Why? Exactly what we said here. There's work in this play. They work 11 months a year so they can take a month vacation. They neither enjoy their work nor labor during their vacations. Right? Most people don't work and be like, I love what I do. They say that to you because that's what you're supposed to say. I love what I do. Love it. Love actuary. So interesting. Love it. Right? I love being a lawyer and, you know, prosecutor. Oh, come on. And, right? It was like, oh my God, that vacation was so hard. It was so difficult. I had to sit on the beach all day. It was so hard. Nobody says that. It's fun. It was exciting. Right? Now, what's the new thing now? You can't go to, you have to go to a place that nobody ever heard of before. Right? Where'd you go for Pesach? Mozambique. Where were you? I was in Egypt. I'm like, oh, that's a real Pesach. Right? That's what it is. I never heard of Turks and Caicos in my life until Jews started going to Turks and Caicos and found, you know, and Chabad put a flag there and said, Yishkoyich, right? People go online to Chabad.org. They find, oh, there's a Chabad there? I never heard of that city before. Let's go there. And nobody will know about it and we'll make a Pesach on there. Because that's vacation. In the path of Torah, work and pleasure must go hand in hand. A person can devote his full energies to Torah day and night. Only if he loves what he studies. Rav Asher says a great line. He said, I tell my Talmidim, you know what a true Talmud Chacham is? Listen to this. He says, when you learn Torah, in your pajamas. Some of you are pretty close to wearing pajamas, but what does it really mean? It doesn't mean just wearing your pajamas. It means that you're sitting and wearing your pajamas, you're ready to go to sleep, and you say, wait a minute. I am not being intellectually dishonest. I really did not understand what my Rebbe said in Shir. I got to go look it up again. Or you know what? That question really bothered me. I'm going to go downstairs and figure it out. That's a totally different. You ain't doing that with a math problem. That's what he's trying to say. And he tells the following story. He's a Talmud of the Klusenberg Rebbe. Klusenberg Rebbe lived in Union, New Jersey. And he was very, very close, really changed his life, as Rav Asher Weiss tells, although it was the end of the Klusenberger Rebbe's life. So he was not, he was very ill at the time. But he tells a story that he went back to visit him. The Klusenberger Rebbe says, I got a Shiloh for you. Right, we just read Parshas Shlach, Parshas Korach. We read, Erez Zavach Chalav Udavash. The Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as a land flowing of milk and honey. However, when it describes the Torah in Mishlei, what is it? In Shir Shirim, it says, Dvash v'chalav tashach l'shonech. Honey and milk under thy tongue. So says the Klusenberg Rebbe, knew why Eretz Yisrael, first milk, then honey, and Torah, honey, then milk. So, like a good Talmud, he says, what do you got, Rebbe? He says, no, 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 what do you think? So he said, I gave him what I thought my pshat was. Perhaps I can explain, he says, that the first pasuk refers to the literal milk and honey of Eretz Yisrael. The milk is more important than the honey, since milk is healthy, while honey should be eaten only sparingly as a treat. And when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, we need the milk, literally, we need to sustain ourselves. We need farms, we need things. He says, however, the second pasuk refers to the proverbial honey and milk of Torah study. Honey, which symbolizes sweet and the pleasure of Torah, has to come first. Then comes the milk, which refers to the more difficult labor of Torah. Right? Anybody that ever says to you, oh, if you don't learn Gemara, you're no. I'll tell you something interesting. My son, for 4 years, went to a high school called Mitzvah Yericho. It's a very wonderful, high-level yeshiva, except they have a very interesting shita there. They do not learn Be'ir. The Be'ion is seen as the most interesting and fun parts of Torah, right? They call it the chulent, the gravy. Oh, you learn a Rav Chaim Salve. Oh my God. And there's a machlokes between there. And all they do is learn Bekiyas all day. And after 4 years, you know, 8 mesechas under his belt, what's the point? I'll tell you the point. The point is he can open up now Gemara and read any Gemara and teach it to anybody. And he knows it cold. And he's finished 8 mesechas in high school. But that's exactly what Rav Asher Weiss is saying. That's the honey. He started to love it. We need to succeed in finding what we love. And then afterwards you can come to your Gemara. That's fine. Some people are very much turned on, we said before, right? They like the Eish of the Torah. Right? Or the Eish HaKodesh. Whatever it might be. I don't care. He's turned on by the Tzaddok. He's turned on by Breslov. It doesn't matter. But he loves Torah. And he says, okay, now let's delve even deeper. What is this thing called Gemara? But it has to be sweet to you. And that explains in source number 8 what we say every morning in Birchas HaTorah. What bracha do we make? Baruch HaTorah Hashem. Right? We say that we want to la'asok b'divrei Torah b'harevna. And the Torah should be sweet. What a beautiful song it's become. But what else do we say? B'harevna Hashem l'kein etzivir shol sechem p'ina b'yamchol b'yisrael. Anachlan says this yamchol b'yisrael. We said, I want the Torah to be sweet. Not just for me, God. For my children, my children's children. Rav Asher Weiss says, whoa, wait a minute. One request per bracha, please. Do you want to decide the Torah to be sweet or that your children's and children's children should follow Torah? He says, no, 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 no. Because it's the same thing. He actually said that the Klusenberg already held that this was the bracha that was min ha-daraisa. The Gemara tells us, as you learned this morning, that there are only certain brachas. There are two brachas that are min ha-Torah. Birchas ha-Mazon and Birchas ha-Torah. Which bracha is Birchas ha-Torah? Which one is it? Most people assume it's Isha bracha banu. Klusenberg already said, no, it's this bracha. Because the sweetness of Torah, there's no way your children are ever going to want to learn Torah if you don't show the sweetness of Torah. Oh, and they'll test you. Right? For many years, I gave a shiur on Tuesday nights in lovely Teaneck, New Jersey. And Rabbi Neuberger Shul, those that know. Somebody's father must have come there. Bergenfeld, I say, apologize. Excuse me for being technical with you. Woo. Like the guy that says to me in yeshiva, I said, where are you from? He says, the five towns. I go, oh, really? He didn't know I grew up there. So he's like, I go, where? He goes, Oceanside. I go, dude, that's not even the 10th town. You're way off. I know, or North Woodmere, right? Oh, I live in West Lawrence. They live in Farragway. Stop it. Okay, so I don't remember what I was saying. So, Rabbi Neuberger Shul, so a guy came to me. This is a really true story. Crazy story. The guy from when I started my shiur, it's hard to believe this is true. When I started my shiur, this would be him. Fall asleep. And he would do the bobbing out. It was worse. You just fall asleep. He would right, he would disturb everyone, right? And he would bob out. Going up and down all day, like bobbing apples. So the fellow members of the shiur came up. They go, Rebbe, it's your job. You got to tell this guy, get the heck out of here. We can't pay attention, sleep. So I go up to him. And he says, I know. That's it. I'm done. I'm not coming to shiur. I can't stay up. I have such a hard day at work. It's not because of you, Rev. He goes, you're so funny. I can't. I said to him, I want you to come to shiur every week. He says, what do you mean you want me to come to shiur every week? I go, I want you to come to shiur. I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what you're doing? You're coming home, and your little kid's like, oh, Abba, Tati, whatever you call you. Dad. Or you're not my father. Whatever they call you. And you leave. And the kids are like, where'd he go? Where'd daddy go? So mommy doesn't answer, oh, he went to a shiur, but it's not really a shiur because dad falls asleep the whole time that, you know, good for nothing. No. And the kids are like, go to a what? A shiur? Hold on a second. Siri, you know, what's a shiur? Right. Oh, no, she came up. What's a shiur? This is Torah. What is that? My father loves Torah. That's so weird. My friend's father loves the Yankees. My other friend's father, I can't say what he loves. Right? I said, you have to come to the shiur. I want your kids to know that you like Torah. You have some sort of problem we have to look into of why you're, you know, fall asleep. But that's the harev. I want my child. But I have to show that I love Torah. Where's your Shabbos table? What's going on at your Shabbos table? Right? You say, oh, did you hear what the rabbi spoke about on Shabbos? What the heck does he know? Or, excuse me, I don't even say the word rabbi. Did you hear what Hartstein said? Azai chutzpah. And finally, as we have two minutes, you give 2 minutes. The pasuk from our parsha, Shlach, the Ramban says, you know what the point of deception of the Meraglim were? What was the worst thing? What led them to who they were? Is this line, source number 9, Ephes. They said there's no way we'll be able to conquer land. Says the Ramban, it was Ephes. Nothing, non-existent. Impossible. It's what Rav Palm calls the zero complex. I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. You know why I'm a nothing or nobody? It's not my fault. Look, I have this card. It gets me a speed pass at Great Adventure. Because I have ADD, I have the ADHD, I have this or that. Everybody likes to walk around and tell everybody what their diseases are, you know? When I was a kid, you didn't tell anybody anything. Now you're like, hey, I got some great news for you, right? I got this disorder and this disorder, and I can't be, you know, successful. My teachers told me that. I was in a special club. I'm special. No. You're not an Ephes. You're not a nobody. The Torah's for you. It's for everyone. Nobody can ever tell you the Torah's not for you. Crazy story. I do a trip every year with Charlie Harari and 300 non-affiliated 40, 50-year-old men. And we go to Masada on a Thursday, and they have initially like 7 guys in their life never had a bar mitzvah. Awesome, amazing experience. And by the end of it, 7 turns into like 15, 6. Anyway, this guy gets up, and he speaks, and he says, I came on this trip, and they said they were having bar mitzvahs, and I never had a bar mitzvah. And my son was just bar mitzvah, and I told him the story, how I wasn't allowed to have a bar mitzvah. And he said, Dad, why not? He says, well, when I was bar mitzvah age, my reform rabbi told me, because I was dyslexic, I can't be bar mitzvah for the rest of my life. Because he told him that bar mitzvah had to be him going up to the Torah and reading from it. Even though they probably read the wrong parsha and they read on Friday night. Okay, whatever. Can you imagine that? The guy lived his whole life, 40-something years old. He never knew. He thought I wasn't Jewish enough. That's crazy. That's the sweetness of Torah. You're not a zero. You got to find what's important. You got to find your sweetness of Torah. That's what we're being told. That's a yes. I want to get high. I have to tell you, the biggest thing that changed my life, Baruch Hashem, I'm zoicha to have a father who sits and learns Torah, and I wanted to be like my father. Yes, that's true. I went to Israel for the year, and that was great, but when I entered Rav Meir Goldbach Shir, who will be here very soon, and he was running around and throwing chalk at people and breaking standards, like, that guy is high, and we're in Washington Heights. So it makes sense, because they have the ice cream trucks in the middle of December. What is he on? I want that Torah. I want to be someone who is like that, who loves Torah like Rabbi Akiva, was willing to die and die for it. That's what you have to keep in mind. That's what we should be, and what we should try for. And if it's not there yet, it's fine. You're not an FS. You got to get there. But you have to be willing to reach a level where I want it. I want the Torah to be sweet. But what? You can't win it if you're not in it. L'habdil, I want to talk about the Nets and, you know, Baruch Hashem. But a certain individual who may have just joined the Nets, look at his story. He's out on the court. After the game's over, he would go out a half hour extra and take shots, even though he's one of the greatest basketball players ever. Why? Because he wanted it bad. You want Torah bad, you can't sit back and relax and go, Ruh, feed it to me, Rebbe. Come on, baby, art scroll it to me. No. You got to want it. It's not easy. Sweat, omo. But make it so sweet and so fun, something that you want to do. But open yourself to that. That's the idea. And that's, I think, a good way to start this year. What we'll be doing in Mirtz Hashem over the next number of weeks is exactly this idea. Make the Torah sweet and fun, hopefully something that we'll enjoy. Have a wonderful evening.